your computer here, but actually I meet you in Vajradamadava. Mahajwala can also accompany you on Vajradamadava. So Hare Krishna, good morning. How are you doing? It's intense, isn't it? We need rest after such a day. Have you noticed? I was today the witness of maybe one of the most elaborate, loudest, and intense snoring concerts. just next to me, my apartment. It was so intense, like 50,000 Russians at one time, that it was pervading through the walls of the apartment. It was just going through. I've never experienced such a thing. Who is my neighbor? No need to raise your hand at this moment. You know, then you find a small Mataji like this. It was totally impressive today. That was a sign for me that it was a very good seminar yesterday.
Om Namo Bhagavate. One moment. I'm sorry. I would like to welcome all of you for this third full day of our Japa retreat. We started on Saturday with some advices how to enter the retreat, and we have distilled for you the pillars of success and the guidelines on these two beautifully written boards, so to say. I request you to just read them whenever you have time today again. They will help you to remind you of what we are here for, and will give you important help. We have also talked a little bit about the concept of alignment. Alignment is a simple concept that when you want to obtain something, then you should put the elements in place which help you. And I would like to give the example of health. If we wish to have a healthy body, it is absolutely important that we have healthy food, that we have some good amount of healthy habits in our lives, for instance resting enough and so on, and also exercise. These three factors are important for good health. So, if you want to have a healthy japa practice, a practice which brings you into your relationship with Krishna, it's important to have the elements in place. That is, you have to pronounce the mantra properly and know about good times and times which are not so favorable. You have to know about how to concentrate the mind. And you have to also have healthy habits, that is, a positive life in Krishna consciousness, where you have good relationships, service-oriented relationship towards devotees, where you
have a good relationship to your spiritual authorities, your guides, that is the spiritual master and the holy scriptures, and that you also avoid some things like material attachments and sinful activities, healthy habits, a positive life. We have directed you to one book, Naam Rahasya, to the pages, I believe, 34, isn't it? 34, where you will find these 10 guidelines for healthy habits, healthy behavior, which will very much support your chanting. So, today, we will come to what I personally consider in my own practice, and also during the times where I have been teaching japa retreats, we come to the most important element, that is the heart. The heart, as some of you know, just looking at it medically, sends out every hour. Every hour, as far as I remember, 50,000 signals in the body. No, it was every minute. I'm really sorry. The heart is a very complex sender of informations. And here, I mean the human heart as the place of human emotions, human feelings, the seat of consciousness, in other words, the seat of the soul, is constantly putting out some informations, which then are translated into states on the biochemical situation of the body. I'm approaching my subject a little scientifically. Please bear with me. It won't be too difficult because I'm also just very vaguely familiar with these concepts. Gachanti has given me a very nice, interesting book where a biochemist is explaining how the well-being of the body is not so much dependent on the biochemical situation in the body. That means what is happening on the molecular or cellular level of the body. Up till now, science has strongly believed that the biochemical functions in the body, like osmosis, that is, you know, taking in liquid and giving out liquids, the whole process of metamorphosis, how the cells digest the food and transform it into energy, that these things describe the well-being or ill health of a person. But this biochemist has proven, really, and it is like it's a breakthrough in science, which the hardcore scientists like Carl Pipram, for instance, he is the coryphee, the Nobel Prize man, has acclaimed that this is true. He has proved that your beliefs, your thoughts, beliefs, your consciousness, what is happening in the heart, is creating either a favorable environment for the cells, a favorite energy field in which they can prosper, or also a bad field. Can you follow me? It's not too difficult, isn't it? I'm saying it in words of a layman. You know this. When a person has a certain state of being, happiness, then he somehow gets certain energy. I remember this. I will not call names now, but no talk of names now. I was once greeted in an airport. I will not tell you the airport where it was, because then you will try to find out of whom I'm talking, and I think I should not, give this secret to you this morning. So there were three devotees who received me, and one was a little, unhealthy. He had a period where he needed to lie in bed with the disease. He was really not well. But this devotee was so absolutely happy to see me. I don't know why. I mean, well, I know why. I mean, there was some affectionate love in the heart, that when the devotee saw me, he immediately took all my luggage and said, no, I can carry. The others can carry. No, Maharaj, I'm extremely strong upon seeing you. What to do? I mean, he was very strong. I tried to wrestle the luggage away from him. Not possible. And then this devotee ran with this luggage to the parking place where you need to get the parking ticket. And just paid it and ran for half a kilometer. Then he ran back. And I thought, well, if we would measure this, this would be the International Olympic record in running with weights, It was so remarkable. The devotee was there, after his bad face, like this, waiting for me. And then I came and I could see that feeling in the heart created an amount of energy which was remarkable. Now, there have been tests on this, on states of consciousness and the release of energy, and I could make some tests now with you, which would make you faint. Would you like to see this? So, all right. I need now two devotees. I will request the two brothers, if you don't mind. Revoyer, the scientist, and Philippe, the artist, to come. Would you be ready? It's a clean experiment, There is no unpleasant thing. So.
Philippe, stand here, and Revoyer, stand here, please. I will make place.
Revoyer, will you be absolutely objective?
As much as I can.
As much as you can. So, Revoyer, the scientist, is extremely objective. You must also be a little critical. We want to see real results now, not just some. Philip. This is almost like taking a scientific vow now from you. Can I promise you to give your best to be totally present with the exercise? Good. Yes, you sound like a marriage promise. Hare Krishna. So don't worry, it's not so serious, What we will now see is, I hope it works, but it comes from the field of kinesiology. Philip will
will hold his arm, and his and the scientist will try to mildly and gently press it down, and Philip will try his best to resist the thing. Just, yeah. It, no need to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just, you know, yeah. Press it down, please.
As much as hard as I can?
Yeah. Your task is to bring it down and see, hopefully he's not too strong, and see how easy it is. Is it difficult?
Oh, he's stronger than you.
Oh my God, this is
hard to pull it off.
Yeah, you should give your best. Is it so hard?
I can.
The idea. The idea is to bring it down and see how much resistance can he offer. Thank you, Philip. Don't worry. You are in a disadvantage because it's called the Hebel. What is the Hebel? Falcon. Yeah. You can't. No. I mean, even Cassius Clay cannot. Muhammad Ali. So your task is to offer resistance to our Chevoye does, and Chevoye's task is to bring it down as quick as possible. Yeah. I mean, not in an unhealthy way. Good. Thank you very much. Now, this is normal. Now, Philip will meditate about a very sad situation. And we will see, he will close his eyes and put his arm up again. Philip, I would really like you to think about something which makes you really sad, which drains you. I will ask you, is there no, hold the arm. Yes, hold the arm. Is there something which really makes you sad in life?
It doesn't come to my mind right now.
Right now it doesn't come to your mind because you're in a happy association. All right. Then think about a situation where a person in whom you invested some faith has just done something very bad to you, has spoken very bad about you, has totally disappointed you. Can you think about such a situation?
Yes.
Good. Now, keep this in your mind, close your eyes, and Chevoye, bring his arm down and find out how much resistance he offered. Really, be in misery, Philip, not in happiness, real misery. Yes. Now, Philip, I sincerely want to request you, thank you very much, to think about something which absolutely makes you enthusiastic. Something like, you know the Zagreb temple wants to build an eco-village with a hotel on it. And Sasha will teach yoga there, and others will teach the Vedic way there, and you can be part of it as a photograph who photographs everything. And now imagine someone just gave you with a loving heart 11 million euros to finance this. So now stay with the thought. Yes. And now, your task is to give all resistance, and Chevoye will push your arm down. Measly? Yes, measly. Now measly.
€11 million is enough.
So can I ask you, was there a difference?
Yes,
Yes, objectively and it was critically and very different. Yes.
Very, very different. When he was miserable, how was his resistance?
I almost put his hand down with one of my hands.
Yeah.
When he was thinking about so much money, I couldn't.
No, but it was not just about money. It was some nice devotional project. So I want you to give a full applause to our scientist and our friend. Bravo! Hare Krishna. I must admit to you, I was very attached that this experiment would work. So I hope I didn't influence anyone. But what you have seen, I mean, it's difficult to do it, you know, when everyone is in a joyful mood and we are in a japa retreat and we are not really interested in so much. But it has been measured, really. There are many more better experiments who are more nicely set up. But the point is really clear. When there is a very positive meditation, a positive feeling, I hope Philip had a feeling also, not just, oh, money, sweeter than honey. No, I try to say something which makes your life work, you know. Then there is so much more energy available to the human being, energy which spreads throughout his whole being and which empowers him in ways which are miraculous. Miraculous. There are many. You could measure what we have now measured with this test on a biochemical level, where you would see a total different pictures in the cells when someone is in a upbeat consciousness, you know, in a good consciousness, as if he is in a low consciousness. Therefore, today, my dear devotees, we will try to open our hearts so that we can get a devotional consciousness. We want a devotional consciousness for our practice. Today is the day of awakening the spiritual heart. Are you with me? It's a very important day. I request you to give your best, and I'm very excited. It will not be so difficult as the other days. I will read to you now a text from the Bhagavatam to make my point clear. Did we say Om Namo Bhagavate? Yes, we said. Good. Can you hurry? It doesn't work with me. It's out of function. Yeah. There was so much energy that the computer spaced out here. Thank you. Ajata paksha iva mataram kaga stanyam yatavatsatarakshudata Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishanna manoravindaksha didikshate tvam. Yes, Krishna. Here, Vritasura speaks about his heart, his more specific particular longing or desire or yearning in his heart for Krishna's association. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has marked this verse as in the Bhagavad Acharmarichi Mala as the verse which sets the mood for someone who wishes to chant with a full attention and with a loving heart. This verse is one of my favorite verses, and our Devashi Narada Prabhu in the past has made a little slideshow on this verse. I don't know if we could show it maybe this evening. You remember? You have it on your computer? Very good. So we will show it this evening with pictures. For now, I just want to read it to you. It's a prayer to Krishna, and it's wonderful. O lotus-eyed Lord, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. O Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them, I yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. As small calves, calves are telo, huh? Small calves,
tele,
yes. As small calves, tied with ropes, await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. And as a morose wife whose beloved husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. And Srila Prabhupada makes a comment to this. It's a brief purport. I would like to read it to you, for you. A pure devotee always wants to associate personally with the Lord, and he yearns for this moment. He wants to render service unto him. The examples given in this regard are most appropriate. A small baby bird is practically never satisfied, except for the time when the mother bird comes to feed it. You know, Prabhupada must have seen these little, you know, red mouths of the baby birds. Quack, quack, or whatever they say. You know, have you seen in the springtime, Mahajwala, in Split, there are such birds also. And they are all mouth. You look in the nest and you see three big mouths. The rest you don't see, you know, because he's putting all his consciousness into this mother, mother, in the bird language. Goes something like this. You know, mother, you know. It's translation, you know. Mother, and then a little deeper, food. Or hungry. Yeah. So this is, the bird has no other idea. He is Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Fixed with his mind. Only mother and food, nothing else is in the mind. Then the small calf. You can see this in Vrindavan, this seed. They are tied and the mother cow is near, and then the calf is brought before the mother cow. Sometimes the calf is allowed to drink a little bit milk. So then the mother cow, my child, and gives forth all the milk which is in the udder, and that it opens the floodgates, the cow opens the floodgate, and then the farmer takes it, it says, one minute, and binds the calf nearby so that the mother sees it and that the affection keeps on flowing, and the farmer says, Ek minute, just coming. And then he milks the cow, and the cow goes like, moo, moo, and the calf goes like, me. They want to meet. It's really full of love and affection. And the farmer just says, Ek minute, just now coming. And just milks the cow. And when there is the appropriate amount left for the calf, then the calf is brought. You see, if the
calf was so greedy, it would drink the whole udder and would die. You know, the little stomach would burst. So the farmer just calculates, okay, we need here, I don't know, half a liter for the calf, and then it works like this. Okay, so as a small calf is not satisfied unless allowed to suck the milk from the mother's udder. And as a, I'm always joking that I don't think this works in modern times, but in old times it works. And as a chaste, devoted wife whose husband is away from home is never satisfied until she has the association of her beloved husband. This is how a devotee just yearns to associate personally with the Lord and then render service unto him. Can you take careful that doesn't. So this is a mood, or this is an example in which the devotee can chant a mood of intense longing for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we should chant like this, Vrindavan Vinodini, in a mood of yearning. Yearning, how do we say yearning in Croatian language? Yeah, it's really like longing, you know. That you must bring your heart to the practice. It is very interesting. The same Vedanta Sutra, now I have it here, which talks about that posture is an absolute must. Do you remember? It says, meditation and prayer is only possible in a sitting posture. It says, dhyana or meditation is thinking on one subject continuously without the inrush of ideas which are not congruous, that is, not in relation with the subject of thought. Such meditation is possible in a sitting posture only, and not while lying down, standing, walking, etc. Therefore, a sitting posture should be adopted both for prayers as well as for meditation. Now, after talking more about this, the Vedanta Sutra will totally throw this, es wirft es über den Haufen. The Vedanta Sutra totally questions the relevancy of posture and all these, and with it all the techniques, by saying, I find this very important, whenever one pointedness of the mind takes place, there let the meditation be performed. Because there are no conditions laid down with regard to this meditation. It talks about chanting the names of Hari, as there are conditions laid down in regards to Vedic Sandhya, that's the Gayatri mantras, and Vedic rules and regulations. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes up this idea in his Shikshastakam prayers. No rules and regulations. No specific time, nakala, no things, and so on and so forth. If you remember, that for remembering your name. My dear devotees, only there's one thing which is necessary. You have to chant with the heart. Prabhupada, he has said it like this. Chanting doesn't mean a mechanic process. It means Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, here is Krishna. And Hare! Here's Radha. This is how you should chant, with the heart. And then, if you can do this, it is not important if you sit like Madhupati, who sits at this moment in an interesting yoga, in a very creative way. Remain like this, it is alright. Or if you align yourself and you put your traktaka in the trikuti and you do the pranas and the this and the that and the everything. However, I would like to say, if you have difficulties to open your heart to Krishna when you chant or in the minute, then these things are helpful. Therefore, we have said it. Who sometimes has difficulty to open his heart to Krishna and think of Krishna when chanting? I think we have sometimes. Yesterday I saw one devotee, and I hope he will forgive me. I was just talking down there with two devotees. We were just talking about something, I forgot what, and I saw this devotee leaning against the wall and just going fully into it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, this devotee was absorbed. And I said to the other devotees, come, let's look at this devotee for a moment. And this devotee was just conquering my heart. He was really chanting with his heart. And he was leaning on the wall. It looked really like, I only remembered this one scene from a music clip of the Rolling Stones where Keith Richard, the guitarist, leans against the wall in a very relaxed way, you know, and the song is called Waiting for a Friend, you know, and he looked exactly like that. It didn't look like a yoga exercise, in other words. It didn't look like japa retreat. But his heart was there. His consciousness was there. He was just blissfully looking. I mean, this, if we could have made a photo of this, I think it would have been the world-winning, award-winning photo of a blissful states of higher consciousness, you know, of higher ecstasies. This is the point. But how often does this come? Mostly when we are chanting, then I would say it in the Yugoslavian way. The Umski is just, Umski means mind. I hope it means mind. At least for me it means mind. No, how do we say? Not Umski, yes. It sounds almost like Om, but it's not Om. It's not Om. It's the mind, you know. So I hope you have taken note of this. Gaurahari is always very bored when I talk the first 2 days of the Jabariti. Not very bored, mildly bored. Because he has heard me many times on that, and I'm also not the man, you know, some of you know me, I'm really not Mr. Discipline. Maybe I'm too little of discipline in my life, you know. But I would like to say, if you want to come to this state where you really fly on your own, where it's no longer any effort, where it's effortless chanting and the mind is there, then it might be good to do these little concentration techniques which you have learned. Take from them whatever helps you at that time. I always compare it with the flight of the albatross. Who has seen the albatross? It runs for about 100 meters, and really, it's not made for running so much. I mean, 100 meters is alright. And then finally, it spreads its wings, and then it has enough speed, and then it surrenders to the winds and flies for days it can fly.
But the first 100 meters is effort, a lot of effort. So when we speak of alignment, we will make the efforts to chant with the lips and the tongue, and to hear with the ears. We concentrate. This is now a summary of the Jabba, what you have learned. I will say it again a little bit slower because I know some take notes here. You first, you know, like the albatross who first has to run a little on the sand and on the beach and then only can go in the air and can really do what it's meant to do, that is fly. First you chant with the, make sure the lips and the tongue are there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You really focus attention on the ears. Like Prabhupada said, you chant with your tongue and you hear with the ears. That's all. No? Hear with the ears. When you give the mind two things to do, concentrate on lips and tongue and the ears, it's captured. It's there. Then you give full attention to this process with your mind. But then you come to what we will learn today. You cry out with your heart for Krishna. Oh Radharani, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please. Oh Radharani. Once again. Oh Radharani.
Oh Krishna.
Please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna. When you chant only with your tongue, my dear devotees, it may reach the ears of the Lord, and he may think, yes, my devotee is chanting, yes, he's trying, yes. But if you chant with your sritta, heart, then something else starts. Then Krishna feels something in his heart. Oh, my devotee is really calling for me. Krishna. No, he doesn't say Krishna. I mean, he may say Krishna also, but he is Krishna. And some mercy comes your way. That's why Prabhupada, in his recommendation about how to chant, it's in the, on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, a very beautiful little article. He says the chanting should be done like the genuine call of the child for the mother. You remember this? It's a beautiful part. Maybe we should hear this lecture of Srila Prabhupada. I can imagine the day after tomorrow. No, then is our excursion day, but the day after the excursion day. We should hear this lecture, Gaurahari, on chanting. You know where to find it? See, Prabhupada gave a lecture on chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's in one of the music albums of Srila Prabhupada. Who knows what I'm speaking about? Yes, I think our Darko, you are a computer man.
I have it on mobile
phone. On mobile phone, the whole thing?
Yes.
But can you hear it? Technica, can we hear it? Not now.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you arrange it?
Yes. After.
Yeah. But it must be clear.
Purport after song.
Yeah. You can maybe arrange together and see that it is a beautiful part. The Prabhupada tells really, he talks about philosophy in this, about the transcendental platform, beyond the mind and intelligence and so on. And then he really gives this tip how to chant, you know. I always give the example of the mother, of a child, you know, when the child is just playing around and calls, Mother, Mother. The mother continues to cook and wash the clothes and does other household activities. But when the child really starts to cry out for the mother, Micah! Then the mother leaves everything, even the cooking pot and whatever she does. And she, because she knows by the sound of the voice of the child, now my child needs me. I have to go immediately. So this is how you have to chant. With your heart intact, that heart which is your most powerful machine, as we have seen, which has so much healing power in it, that if the heart is crushed, you get cancer. If the heart is crushed means hurt, very hurt. If the heart is health, happy and enthusiastic, you become well. That's why a patient who is not well is, every doctor knows, we have to remove him from his stress life. He has to go somewhere else. Let him be now happy. He should only be happy. Then he will soon be healthy again. Because the power of the heart are such. My dear devotees, this brings us into maybe I would call it the most difficult area of Krishna consciousness. It brings us to the secret of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is difficult because it's not really a technique, Braj Kishore. You can, as they say in English, go through the motions. Can you understand what do the things? Like you can be in lousy consciousness and if you are at least attentive, you can repair an airplane. But you can't be in lousy consciousness and develop love of Godhead. It just doesn't work. Prabhupada spoke about this in one interesting purport, where he talks about in different perspective about taking a bath in the Ganga. Normally we hear that if you take a bath in the Ganga, you are washed from sins, right? Have you heard about this, taking a bath of the Ganga? But here Prabhupada says that this is not always the case. It depends on the consciousness in which you enter the Ganga. Then in Calcutta they give an example. The example of the beautiful prostitutes of Calcutta who every morning go near the Howrah station into the Ganga to wash themselves from the night's activities. You know, the sweat on their body, lipstick all over. You know, they had wild lovers and kaja smeared all over the face. They look like after a battle each night. And they enter the Ganga not to become free from sins. They just want to have a new, fresh body and a nice sex appeal for the next day. Hare Krishna. So in Bengal, they therefore say every day 1,000 prostitutes enter the Ganga and are not purified. They have a different purpose, a different mentality. Then Ganga doesn't help them. Maybe at the end, I can imagine at the end of the life, you know, the poor girls, but they don't experience a transformation of consciousness. They remain lusty. A mentality you need to have if you do that type of work. So, here, listen to this amazing purport. People generally go to the Ganga to be purified of the effects of sinful life. But here's an example of how foolish persons, these are the sons of Kuvera entered the Ganges to become involved in sinful life. Who knows what these people did, these two sons in the Ganga? They were mixing with women. You are talking it very, 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 very politely. I mean, they were really enjoying sexual contacts. And they were drunk. You know, they were really getting into it. So, here is an example how two people, you know, they took wine in the Ganga and women, and then we don't need to describe what they did then. They became involved in sinful life. And now Prabhupada's sentence, and I find it very important, it is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. No. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. Let me read the sentence for you again. Everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. If you want to see this purport in your own time, you can find it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, verse number 4. I repeat for you, 10th canto, 10th chapter, verse 4 in the purport. I would like to make now two other points. Isn't that a discovery? Let me just ask you, how do you, Govindananda, one moment, how do you react when you hear this? Everything spiritual and material depends on one's mental condition. Doesn't it sound logical? I mean, doesn't it also apply to your experience? You are in Krishna, you are chanting. Let us think about chanting for a moment. You are chanting. And sometimes you chant in a really nice consciousness, isn't it, Dario? That's really, and you have a wonderful experience. And sometimes you try to chant and it just doesn't. You know, isn't it? Don't we have this experience, Amarananda? Because our consciousness may not be there, and that has a lot to do with our life habits. The consciousness is a lot influenced by our habits in life. Therefore, I find it so important to give you these positive ways how to live the life. You know this on page 34. Damayanti brought books for us on the Nam Rahasya, and she will soon open her Damayanti bookstore. I mean, soon means after, I think, Friday we could open it. Or maybe already now. It is open. It is there. You please, if you want, you buy the book. And if you don't have money to buy the book, I want to give you the book as my personal present, because at the moment I'm swimming in an ocean of money. It will soon finish, because I will give it all away. But at the moment I can be generous to you. It's always, we sannyasis, we get some Lakshmi and then we give it into worthy spiritual projects. So at the I have not yet seen my treasurers, and now it's, I mean, it's not, so yes, so please, it's really good, these informations, because they don't come from me, they come from a scripture, yes. Isn't it our experience, Philip? That it depends on our consciousness, just like taking the bath in the Ganga. I find this makes bhakti so elusive. Elusive means how to really, you know, you can't grasp it so easy. Because the consciousness and state of consciousness is something very difficult. It's the result, really, of your life. Yes, bhakti life. Therefore, you need a bhakti sadhana to really come into a bhakti consciousness. Or you need two other things. Terrible danger, then you also turn to God. In German language they say, im Schützengraben gibt es keine Atheisten. To translate this into English is, in the war trench, how do we say trench in Croatian? Grove? Rov. In the war rove, there are no atheists. Because everyone goes, that was my friend. My dear God, I forgot you. But now not. Or if you fall in love with Krishna, then you can utter with feelings. Prabhupada therefore does a meditation which is very powerful. And I will do this on Friday with you. It's, we will enter and confront our own death. He says, Prabhupada says, if you think death is already coming, I don't have much time, I really have to complete my life, then you turn to Krishna. You turn to God. But should you wait until you take the death meditation, better is to purify your consciousness now and live according to these positive guidelines, no? To align your consciousness. Can someone please, I forgot to take my wristwatch. What is it, Divashi? 8:32, yeah. It's so difficult for me to see this. Yes, it has no contrast, this watch. Yeah. So, in Krishna consciousness, this will be my last point, and then I will ask you. The whole process of your spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. Awakening the heart, here says, changing the heart of the living being in his relation to the Lord, in a relation of servitude. All we want to do is that a change of heart takes place where you want to serve Krishna. This is what is important. And Prabhupada makes it very clear. He says, this is the price. This desire to serve Krishna is the price for bhakti. He says even that this desire should be so intense that there are tears in the eyes. It's not half-hearted, the desire. It is full-hearted. One should feelingly pray, Prabhupada says, and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially, can you imagine, Lord Chaitanya, What was the teaching? Feelingly pray to be, and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. Each one of you, Sridharji, you have a particular type of service to Krishna in your original spiritual position. Raj Kishore, I can't imagine that your service will be to drill holes in Krishna's tooth in the spiritual world, because there is no caries there. the you have a particular service which is totally different from dentistry, dental work. Yes, Hare Krishna. There is something which is waiting for you, that is your spiritual identity, which is there already. It's some tantra scripture. Tantra is not what modern modern yogis think. There are different types of tantra. The Vaishnava tantra is, they understand that, I have heard that there is already your spiritual identity, and it waits that you come into it. It's almost like there is, or I want to give a car which will fascinate, and a car example. You know, Mahujwala, there is a Rolls Royce waiting for you, and it's already fully paid, it's already there. You just have to get into it, it's in split, you know, and then drive with it. Shouldn't you want to take what is already yours, and claim it and use it in the service? Of course. So there is already your identity waiting for you, Revoye. Vijeta, it's there. It's waiting for you. Shouldn't you desire to claim it, to take it and use it in the service for Krishna? Of course. So here it says in this, one should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. Oh, small technique. Prabhupada is so hopeful. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager. It's about eagerness, huh? Not about crocodile tears, huh? And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called Laulyam. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. Matei. This is what bhakti is about. The consciousness in the heart. If you want to read this beautiful part, you should find the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9. I don't know which page, so you can read the whole chapter. It's there, huh? Who of you have heard about the scripture Adi Purana? Yes. Who is the speaker in Adi Purana and who is the listener? Krishna is speaking and Arjuna is the listener. Yes. There, Krishna says to Arjuna, Gayanti mang namani ruranti mama samvido teshamahang parikritya krita nanya krita janadana. I am purchased by those who sing my names. We speak about prices. Huh? I am purchased by those, means Krishna is bought by those who sing my names and cry in front of me. I am not purchased by anything else. It seems it's the price, you know, to really so eagerly want Krishna that you feel like I can't do without him. And this brings us back to the beginning of the lecture. The devotee opens his heart to the Lord and says, my Lord, I want you in the same way as little birds want their mother, as calves want their mother cow, and as a wife wants to be together with her beloved husband. I want you this much to render direct service to you. No. This is, so today we will speak about how we can approach this type of consciousness in the morning workshop and evening workshop, afternoon workshop. This is what we will learn today. Hare Krishna. So that we have the right mentality. Oh, Krishna, I have said what I wanted to say. Do you have any questions? Govindananda. I would like to answer this a little later, this question. But I will answer it today in this lecture. I saw Hrivoye, Vrindavan Vinodini, did I see your hand? No? Don't be shocked. I thought, yeah. Oh, Madhati from, no. First, I'm saying you. You will be next. Hrivoye, yeah. Would you like to know the best rhythm? And the best melody, you know? It's the melody of love. And the rhythm of love. You know, if I say, for instance, if I have, let us say there's a young boy, let us call him Milomia. Milomia, first class name. I can say, Milomia, come here! Or I could say, Milomia, please come. It's a different sound. The one is the ordering sound, Milomia! Come here! And the other is a loving sound. Milomia, please, Milomia, come. You know, and that feeling will tell you the melody. When we hear, we have a, Gaurahari, if you could find your chanting by example, please, we will hear. We will show you how Prabhupada chants in a very loving way. And that will teach you. There is a wonderful book called Madhurya Kadambini where it said the beautiful queen of taste in Krishna consciousness will show the sadhaka all the dancing steps in bhakti. You know, when you have someone who knows to dance, and she, the lady says, levo, desno, levo, and whatever else, you know, half levo, and turn, desno, and, you know. So the beautiful queen of taste. We will hear Prabhupada chanting, and there, you will see there is a certain rhythm and melody.
Ram Ram Hari Hari, Hari Krishna 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 Hari Hari, Hari Ram Hari Ram 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 Hari Hari.
I saw in this there were two rhythms. You know, one is Hari Krishna Hari Krishna 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 Hari Hari, and then Prabhupada goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He changes. It is definitely dependent on internal feelings. And the best feeling is of obviously love, or let's not go so high, because when we always want to get the highest, we get nothing. Another would be some taste, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks the chanting should be done from the platform of ulasa. Ulasa means simple joy. Let's just be happy to chant there. And this feeling will give you the rhythm. Rhythm and melody is coming from the heart. You know. That's very important. It's not that there is any, you know, prescribed melody or any prescribed rhythm. It is like this or like that. It's the heartbeat. You know, it depends on the heart. You can see now we are really entering into another dimension today. Can you feel that? We are no longer with techniques. And I'm bringing it now to this other dimension. We are entering the kingdom of bhakti. The understanding of bhakti first of all. If you have bhakti in your heart, I think so, because you are all great devotees. But no. Okay, I think now that we will have our Mataji and then Govinda Nandan's question. Your name again, Gaurangi. Thank you. It's quite simple. The difference between a material and a spiritual person is that the material person lives always in the outside. He's focused towards the outside world. Possessions, looks, relationships with other people, income, and so on. And the spiritual person is simply focused to the inside. He is concerned with qualities like love, attention, quality of character, and so on, spiritual character, and so on. That's the difference. So when I led you in the exercises yesterday, I did many things, small things and big things, which brought your intention inside. It was like a little therapy, especially the Cathedral of Sound. You must have noted that it was powerful. You were really like, you should have seen yourself.
Welcome.
I did the church. Why don't you do it with a temple and an altar? Have an altar of Krishna there. I just needed the church for a yogic thing, you know, and I wanted to put the sitting benches, you know, that some. The whole idea is to bring you into a new space which you have not experienced, and therefore I did not use the images which you know or which you are very familiar. But when you do it in daily practice, temple of sound, yes, temple of sound with a nice altar with Krishna will be better for you. Yeah. That was the whole idea, to bring the consciousness inside. Now, the last answer to the I will just answer, and our Mataji from Belgrade, please keep your question. There will be, if you forget, you can write it down, no problem. I want to just be sure that today we end really on time, a little earlier even. I have seen the... Yes, and there was another thing I have no time to ask with Govindanandan. Govindanandan has asked a very important question. Please look at number 6 at this beautiful sign there. It's the 6th pillar of success on which your retreat rests. It was depend on divine grace, be a receiver, not an achiever. In how do we say receiver in Croatian, please? Primauts. Be a primauts. Primauts sound like mouse, no? Primauts, be a primauts and not a achiever. It's not an easy one. Achiever is a certain mentality where you think the success is dependent on you. That's a typical achiever mentality. You know, when we take an achiever mentality. So, in the Japa retreat, we will give our best, but we know that success is absolutely not dependent on us. It is dependent on Krishna's mercy. Therefore, I'm always saying, during a Japa retreat, each one experiences, or during any retreat, if it's done responsibly and if the facilitator knows what he is doing, then each one will get those realizations which are meant for him. Each one will see the door opening which is meant to open for him at this stage of his or her life. Each one will get hints from Krishna which are meant for him. It's almost a little bit like yoga. Remember those of us who were in Sasha's excellent yoga class yesterday? He told us, don't try now to bend yourself to a position which is too difficult for you. In yoga, that's not the idea, to achieve a certain, you know, like photogenic position. It's to come to your borders and respect these borders, these granites, because there on the border, the benefit of your yoga will take place. If you force the border too much, like if I do a bend here and already I feel like the signals, it's all right, it's enough, you know, this side, this muscle says, if I now do, okay, I can do it, I will do it like Mahajala, oh my God, then I will hurt myself. I should stay here. And here the circulationski will go on, and all the benefit will go on. Here the hurt is happening, isn't it, Sasha? Like that's the idea of yoga. So you will, in a similar way, you will get where you are, your borders, your gifts, Govindanandan. But if you are in the achiever mentality, you will think, bang, I'm going now. And when I come back home, I will tell my wife I'm a self-realized soul now. be a receiver. Whatever comes, whatever Krishna has given you, that is moksha. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you a question. We were yesterday. Can you just wait? Can I just ask Govindanandan to just come? Hare Krishna. We will end now the session here. This Bhagavatam class is not actually. It's like a class. And we will, those of you who want to learn the yoga exercises which Sasha showed us yesterday, Sasha is available now. Is it the same, Gwant Banunandini, would you please look down? Is there sufficient shade? Not, where should we then, so where should we do? Banunandini, why don't you go already down and look for a nice place? And it's somewhere here. It will also depend how many participants are there. So if you want to take further yoga, it is happening now. Now means as soon as possible. And Otherwise, the breakfast is ready at 9 o'clock. I think so. Vandana, would you just look in the kitchen and ask them if they're... It's ready, I hear. So, the next class, if you take yoga, it's better to do it on an empty stomach, otherwise the prasadam will come out of your nose. So at 10:30, no, what was it? 11:45, we will meet. So there is enough time to do yoga, then to eat prasadam, and then get ready for the morning session or chant. But it's entirely up to you how you want to do. It's just a service which we want to offer to you, for those of you who are interested. And yes? So, our Govinda Nana, please come here. We'll make also some announcement. All right. Then, for those of you who take yoga, wish you a nice yoga. It won't be so long. And for those who go directly to the breakfast, Hare Krishna. And see you at 11:45. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Goni Dai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.